filtering in place surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438.
The news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and, well, they're the views of our, this afternoon, of David Lemieux. And, of course, we're going to be talking about the fact that there are so many, many people in America who are simply can't make the payments on their home. They can't make their payments on the credit cards. They can't make their payments on their automobile loans or unsecured business loans, things of that sort. People are really having a great deal of difficulty meeting their debts and obligations. There are today in the United States about 8 million empty homes, about 650,000 homes are there for foreclosure. Over probably well over 2 million homes have been foreclosed on so far, and it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. We are having very real economic times. Certainly, major developments all across the country are shutting down because of the lack of credit. And certainly, development as far as homes are concerned, as far as shopping centers, they're shutting down because they're not going to have anybody to go to the shopping centers. They're not going to have anybody to rent the buildings. They're not going to have anybody to buy the homes. Well, with that as a background, let's go to our special guest this afternoon, David, David Lemieux, of course, is with something called HelpYouOutOfDebt.com. HelpYouOutOfDebt.com is an organization. Well, I'm going to let David tell you about it. Good evening, David. Thanks very much for being with us.
Good evening, Dr. Stan. Nice being with you tonight.
All right. Why don't you sort of pick the story up?
Okay. Well, as you know, we live in a magical age of credit. Americans today have the power to buy things they just simply can't afford. When they don't have enough money to buy something, they simply charge it to a credit card, and as each month and year goes by, their higher interest rates on their credit cards keep going up and up and up. And what happens is they get themselves into what we call debt slavery, because if you take the average American who has about 8 different credit cards, averaging between $30,000 and $40,000 in credit card debt, they basically are in a point where they're not going to be able to get out of debt in a minimum sense for at least 28 to 30 years. So knowing that, they're realizing now that as the recession is coming and as, you know, family members have a loss of a job or there's a medical reason or there's a death in the family, any sort of thing that tips that that lifestyle into one direction, they're going to realize now that they can't afford to make the payments that they're making on their credit card. So at that case, we at Help You Out of Debt is a company that helps people to get out of debt in a relatively short period of time, not even paying back the full amount. In fact, what we do is we negotiate on their credit cards by talking and negotiating with credit card companies, and we're able to negotiate off at least 40 to 60% of their credit card debt, and we're able to get them out of debt within a period of about 12 to 36 months.
Well, of course, the thing is that the average individual is not in a position to negotiate with a credit card company or with the other companies that are holding their debt. And so how do you actually approach a company and say, you know, we represent Mr. So-and-so, Mr. Jones here, and, you know, how much will you knock off what he owes? How do you go about doing something like that?
Well, as creditors realize that as you're not making your payments, or if you're making some payments, or if you're even thinking about bankruptcy, because what that means to them is they're going to lose the money you owe them. So if they know that bankruptcy, or if they're not going to get their payments, is just around the corner for you, then suddenly humans become more powerful than numbers. Negotiation begins. Our staff will begin to haggle and negotiate with the credit card companies to actually lower the balance. The old saying is, getting something rather than nothing is always better. So as time goes on, as we negotiate, the credit card companies realize that they are not going to get their payments. And at this point, they will begin to negotiate down the balance until they get to a point where we negotiate something for the borrower so that it works both for the borrower and for the credit card company.
All right, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment with David Lemieux. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is David Lemieux, and we're talking about the debt. An awful lot of Americans are in tremendous debt as far as their credit cards are concerned. An awful lot of them are, as in, they have medical bills they can't pay. They have automobile loans that they can't meet. They have all sorts of unsecured loans out there. And, of course, they're in real trouble financially. An awful lot of people are hurting, and an awful lot more are going to be hurting. And, of course, they're facing two alternatives, either to go bankrupt or put themselves in perpetual debt slavery over a period of many years to pay off the loans that they have taken out. And, of course, one of the worst things you can do is get yourself into debt. And we've been pleading with people for years, get out of debt, get out of debt. And, well, I hope many of our listeners have done that, but there are certain many people have not. And so David is with a company called HelpYouOutOfDebt.com. And they will actually go to the people that you owe money to and negotiate a lower rate. And so I'm going to let David. David, basically, you now have a new audience for about 2 minutes. Why don't you tell them what you were just saying before we bring other stations back on board? How do you go about approaching a company, a credit card company, or other creditor, and get them to lower the amount that's owed them?
Basically, what we'll do, first of all, is once the borrower is enrolled in our program, we then set them up with what we call a trust account. Now, when they make their low monthly payments, and we base the monthly payments on the amount that is negotiated. So let's say a borrower owes $10,000 in credit card debt. We're going to negotiate roughly on $5,000. So on that amount of money, on $5,000, that's going to be what their monthly payment is going to be. Now, what they're going to do is they're going to put the payments into a trust account. As that trust account grows, then as the money comes in, we then negotiate with the credit card companies. So we're basically negotiating sometimes on, you know, 40, 50, 60% on the dollar about what they owe. And at that point, the creditors then, at that point, solve the matter. They have an agreement there. We pay the debt, and then the money comes out of the trust account, and then it goes into the creditor's hands, and they're paid off. And we do this one time at a time with each credit card company that they have until they're completely paid off. So the borrower's money is put into a trust account. It's paid off through the trust. It's paid off in a relatively short period of time. And because we are settling on half the debt of what they owe, their minimum monthly payments a lot of times are a lot less than the payments that they make to their minimum payments to the credit card company. So the result is they are out of debt within 12 to 36 months. Their payments are half of what they pay to the credit card companies or less, and they're out of debt, and they're debt-free within 12 to 36 months. So the idea is we're getting them out of debt. That also starts the process of them repairing their credit, getting back on track again, and you know what happens.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and David is simply talking about how they go about negotiating with the credit card companies to get them, of course, to cut the amount of money that's owed. And, of course, what's the interest rate on a lot of these credit cards now? Of course, a lot of people got into them. Oh, my goodness, it's only 5 or 6%, nothing to worry about. What is the average credit card interest rate at the present time?
Right now, the average credit card is 25%. And what most creditors don't realize is that when you sign that contract with that credit card company, there is a clause in their contract. It's called the Universal Default Clause. And what that basically says is that we will give you the interest rate that we're offering you for a certain amount of time, but if anything changes, if you make a payment that's late or you're a slow payer, and Dr. Stan, you can actually make a slow payment or a late payment on a different credit. For example, if you're dealing with a credit card company and you make a payment that's late to a car payment, The credit card companies do what they call shadowing. They will go into your credit report. They will look to see where all your lates are. And even if you're making your payments on time to that credit card company, if you make any kind of other slow payment on any other debt, they will increase your interest rate immediately. Because remember, the introductory rates of 0% and 7% and 8%, the credit card companies do not make money there. They only make money when they can increase that interest rate into the double digits.
Well, no, aren't there any sort of laws to protect the consumer from this sort of thing? Because this obviously is that they give you a come on, they get you into the system, and then, of course, you know, 25% interest rate. This usury, at one time they put people in jail for charging at interest rates like that, and now apparently this is perfectly all right. Usury seems to have been legalized by a corrupt system.
Yes, in the early 1980s, South Dakota and Delaware both got rid of their cap laws on their interest rates. The reason they did that was because at that time those states were almost in the point of bankruptcy. So they looked at a means, they said, let's do away with the caps, let's allow the interest rates to be as high as they want. Within 1 year, you had six of the largest banks clamoring for South Dakota to move their credit card processing centers to that state. Once they did, there was another law that was passed by the Supreme Court called the Marquette Law. That Marquette decision basically said that wherever you're doing business, wherever that credit card company is, they can take the laws of that state and they can enact it in any other state within the union. So if South Dakota has no cap or no usury law, they can charge that same kind of law across the states in every other state, and they are protected by the Marquette decision by the Supreme Court.
All right. Now, how many people, do we have any idea how many people are behind on their credit card debt at the present time?
Yes, there are roughly about 150 million people today that have credit cards. There are about 50 million that do pay their credit cards off each and every month. That leaves about 90 to 100 million credit card users that are revolvers. They're called revolvers to the credit card companies, and they are constantly using their credit and pushing it into the next month and the next month and the next month, so they are actually consistently behind on their payments, and they're actually tacking on more interest and late fees and penalties. So roughly between 90 and 100 million people today in America.
Well, now, of course, you talk about late fees and penalties. You mean in addition to the interest rate of 25%, which I think is immoral, they're tacking on late fees and penalties too?
Yes, they are. On top of the high interest rates, for example, typically in the mortgage industry, if you're 30 days late or more, they typically then have a surcharge or a late fee charge. In the credit card industry, and this is where they kind of fool you, they give you a date of payment. Say your payment's due on May 5th. If you pay your payment on May 6th, they now can tack on penalty charges, late fees, surcharges, and sometimes it adds up to almost, you know, half the minimum payment that they're making. So if the person's making their minimum payment and all these fees are tacked on, they're not even paying the interest off on the principal that they owe.
And, of course, this is a scam, but unfortunately, why, of course, so many of our people have gotten involved in this, and this will simply just strangle them. They will never be able to get out of debt, really. And, of course, what about bankruptcy? How does bankruptcy work, and can people go bankrupt?
Okay, up until about 5 years ago, bankruptcy was open to those that could file bankruptcy Chapter 7 to totally disillusion, get rid of all their debt. What has happened within the five-year period, the credit card companies have lobbied Congress, and they have actually gotten the laws changed to where it's nearly impossible for any working citizen who does produce an income to be able to file Chapter 7. So what they do is they move them out of Chapter 7, they allow them to go into Chapter 13, which is just reorganization, restructuring, and now they're in the system of Chapter 13, paying back the debt to the credit card companies over a period of 10 to 12 years under court rules and court obligations. So it's really not helping them at all. And Chapter 7 pretty much, unless the rule right now is that if you make at least $100 of residual income a month, you do not qualify for bankruptcy.
And I think it's very obvious that the people, the powers that be, knew exactly what was going to be coming down the line when they altered the bankruptcy laws here in the United States. They knew that this whole credit crunch was going to come down. They knew that the fees and the interest rates on our credit cards were going to be going to astronomical levels. And they wanted to create a situation where people could not get out of debt. In other words, they become basically debt slaves. And we're talking somewhere between 90 and 100 million people fitting into that category here in the United States, and I'm sure there must be similar problems throughout the world, and you've got to be able to do something, of course, to get out of debt, and the first thing you have to do is, of course, stop buying a lot of things you can't afford. But the second thing is you've got to be able to renegotiate your agreements, and if they will actually, the credit card companies will take a chop between 40% and 60% off your bills. Why? That's pretty good. Now, how often can you actually get a 50% or 60% a reduction? And what determines how much you can get the credit card company to accept?
Well, very interesting enough, Dr. Stan, we have a back-end company that works with us that has been doing this for the last 10 years, and they've already negotiated. They've actually met back east with the major credit card companies like Chase, MBNA, Capital One, and about 12 others, and right now they are permanently on their list so that when an individual calls and when a debt settlement company calls to settle that debt, we are already on that list, so they already know that they're going to be doing a settlement in between that range. So depending on how far back the borrower is, like the old rule of thumb is if the later you are in your payments, the better deal you have in getting a good agreement for your payoff. They basically have the numbers already set in their mind. So typically it's if our process is a 12 to 24-month period of paying them off, usually in month 11 and month 12 is when we start doing the payoffs to the creditors. They already realize that they're not going to be getting their money back, so all of a sudden the percentage that they're willing to drop increases.
In other words, they'd rather have something than nothing at all.
Correct.
Now, basically, do you borrow the money to pay off the credit card debts, or do the people have to put this money into into this fund? And then, of course, once they have enough money there, they can pay it off, because all this time they're going to be getting higher and higher interest rates, and they're not going to be paying anything on the principal. So how does this really actually work?
Okay. Basically, when the trust account that we set up for the individual is set up, their minimum monthly payments will go into that trust account. As that trust account grows, the law is that once we meet with a creditor, we have to also have the borrower online with us. So it's a conference call. We have the borrower, the creditor, and ourselves. We're the negotiators. We negotiate the price. The borrower agrees. The creditor says, fine, we'll accept that amount. At that point, the money is withdrawn out of the trust account by the permission of the borrower and is sent directly to the creditor. At that point, that debt is paid off in full.
Well, I mean, but there's not going to be enough in this account, really, at one time. I mean, how long would it take to have enough money in the account to be able to pay off, say, $5,000?
Well, that's why this program is anywhere between 12 and 36 months, depending on how much debt the borrower has. When the first credit card is paid off, the trust account does go down, and then again, the borrower now starts paying again back into the trust account until it builds up again, and then we move on to the next credit card company. So it is a one-at-a-time type process, so we're doing these cards one at a time until each person is paid off. And typically, Dr. Stan, the credit card companies that are the most likely not to work with us, or they're very hard-nosed about their percentages, we save them for last. So, you know, if they want to play hardball, some of those creditors will not even see the negotiation process for anywhere up to 15, 18, or 20 months.
And you see that now, is there any way that the credit card company can attach your salary or attach your home or things of that sort?
Okay, there are some rules that each individual has to realize and understand. If an individual has equity in their home, and you know they've got a lot of equity, and you know if it's a substantial amount of debt, the credit card company can go to the courts. They can order a judgment. They can order the judgment be sent to the courts. The borrower has to show up. We go with the borrower to the court with the paperwork that they have from us, and they show them that they are in a debt settlement program. Now, typically arbitration means that if you are in a program, the judge, 9 times out of 10, will usually say, okay, they're in a program, they're going to stay in a program, that's as far as we're going to go. If you have some attorneys in some states that feel they need to go even further with that, and they want to take this either to a garnishment level or even to a possible judgment onto the house itself or equity, it is possible that there are some companies that may do that. But remember, Dr. Stan, going that route, the credit card companies have to put out more and more money and cost in order to do that process. Most of them will not do that.
Okay,
may, but that's if the debt is extremely high. But for the most part, the individual the average American maybe has $2,000 or $3,000 on their credit card statement on each card, they're not going to go any further than sending it to a collection agency. And by the way, we follow the debt wherever it goes. If they sell it off to a collection company, we find out who the collection company are. We send out the cease and desist letters to them. they cannot harass the borrower anymore, and at that point we negotiate with that collection company.
And of course, you know, they really do have a very effective program of harassing people, you know, or intent, and that's pretty miserable for the individual, and if they have an employer, they'll call them there where they work and just harass them and keep calling and calling and calling, and you've been disrupting their work to the point, I'm sure that some people have lost their jobs because of the harassment from the collection agencies. That's a pretty crass business, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be going to a break. When we get back, if you have a question on this, why, give us a call. When you stop and think of the number of people who are head over heels in debt here, you know, we're talking 90, 100 million people who have credit cards, and they just are not in a position to make their payments, and especially as the economy is going to continue contracting and more people are going to lose their jobs, or a member of a household will lose their jobs, or they're going to have to accept lower rates, lower wages to keep a job. We're going to have more and more problems. So it's time to start thinking about this and making your plans. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, David, Sydney, is this a new program, or these programs have been around for quite some time?
Dr. Stan, there are actually two other programs beside ours that's been around for the last 10 years. One is bankruptcy, and of course, bankruptcy is a public record type deal. People that file bankruptcy, and we used to be able to file Chapter 7, though they were able to get rid of their debt, the public records would also hinder them in getting jobs. A lot of employers will not allow their employees to have bankruptcies on their credit reports. And then, of course, it was on their record for 10 years. There was also another company out there, another type of business called credit counselors. Now, this is something that has kind of come up and spawned itself throughout the process in the last, 8 to 9 years. Credit counseling companies work like this. They get you into a program, but you have to pay back 100% of your debts. And all they're doing is they're taking your high interest rates and they're lowering them back down to the interest rate that you had when you first got the credit card. So basically all they've done is they've given you back your rate that you once got when you first opened the card up. But that, again, is an 8, 10, 12-year process. There are some credit counselors out there that are actually companies that work for the credit card companies. They're nonprofit organizations, and some of them have been set up by the credit card companies themselves in making the people believe that they're working for an entity that's actually helping them, when in reality, it's actually helping the credit card companies. The third way, of course, is debt settlement, which came about in the last 6 to 8 years. And we saw the need. See, as the credit card companies began to change their laws and agreements, and as they began to increase the interest rates on the individual based on the universal clause and also on the Marquette law, our company came about as a result of that because we saw the loopholes where we ourselves could actually help resolve, settle, and negotiate even better than the existing companies out there that were traditional in helping those people out of debt. So we are probably the newest on the line that can get people out of debt in a shorter period of time. We can resolve their debt with paying less than half their debt or more, and have them out of debt in a shorter period of time so they can reestablish again and be debt-free and out of that slavery.
Now, what about, Chris, your credit ratings? Do you do anything about the bad credit ratings that people have as a result of the fact that they got themselves into this terrible mess?
Well, basically, the FICO score companies, the Fair Isaac that works with the credit bureaus, they're actually, in a sense, working with credit card companies also. You know, it's the credit card companies are using those credit bureaus and Fair Isaac like a surgical tool that a doctor uses on a patient. They go in there and they systematically are looking for borrowers with habitual buying power. And they look to see how their buying power is, their habit of spending, and when they determine how they spend, Fair Isaac gives them a score, and that's what the credit card companies go after. And they're not only going after the good borrowers that have the high scores, they're now going after even those borrowers that have low scores because the Marquette law says the higher riskier borrowers, you can charge higher rates. So the credit card companies are giving credit to people who really don't have good credit, knowing that they're going to charge them an extremely high interest rate, and because of that high rate of return, the money the credit card companies make on them is going to make them a lot of money. Even if they default on their loans or they default on their credit cards, the money they've made off of them in the years that they've had the credit card far exceeds what they're going to lose on the default rates.
And in some ways, you know, it's really sort of an immoral system because, of course, many of these credit card companies are tied into banks, and the banks create the money out of nothing. In other words, there's nothing there, and all they need is a 10% or 8% reserve. They create the money, they lend it to you, they charge you interest rates, and then they keep raising the interest rates up and up to the point where nobody can survive with a 20, 25% interest rate. It'll simply destroy you, destroy your family, destroy any hope you have for the future. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and if you have a question for David, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. David, would you like to get your telephone number out so that people would, if they'd like to reach you, and I should let our listeners know that certainly David and his local company are going to be supporting Radio Liberty, and so we certainly have checked him out. He has an excellent reputation. In fact, he's a close friend of our good friend David Wagner, who is the one who suggested that we actually put him get him onto our programs here. So our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and let's get your web page up and your telephone number.
Okay, great. Our company name is HelpYouOutOfDebt.com, or you can go to the website. It's www.HelpYouOutOfDebt.com. Our toll-free number is 866-374-3101. Again, that's 866-374-3101. We have agents standing by right now at this time, and they're going to be working well into the hours of the night. So if anyone feels they want to call, we give them free information. Again, Dr. Stan, we don't charge any upfront fees in our programs. Again, we don't take any fees up front. The fees are worked into the program. They're paid out over 12 months. It's a minimum payment, and the borrower does not have to come out of pocket for that because they're already in debt right now. We're not going to put them further into debt. So with that toll-free number, they can talk to an agent. They can go over their program with them. They can see if they qualify, and once qualified, the process is very simple. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and we can enroll a person within an hour.
Well, somebody's calling in, and they want to know how you stay in business and how much do you get at the end of the contract, how much does the individual, how much does the company make?
Okay, basically how we stay in business is we're in business based on referral basis. We don't make any money on any individuals. Our hope is that if we're able to generate and save money for the individual out there, and if there's 90 million people out there that have credit card debt and are in trouble, you know, even if we are able to help, you know, a very small fraction of that, then that basically covers our overhead. We basically are in business to save money for the people, give them a program that helps them to get out of debt, and then as a result, you know, that the money that we get on our commissions is paid out over a 12-month period, and if we have enough people that are interested in the business, that will keep us in business. We're not there to gouge people like the credit card companies. We're there to help people.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Marcia, who's calling from Rochester, New York. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Marcia, do you have a question or comment?
Yes. We're in a terrible situation right now. My husband's wages have been garnished for well over a year, and to begin with, it was a credit card debt that I had begged payment plans on to Discover Card, which is owned, by the way, by, when you trace it all back down, it's owned by J.P. Morgan. But I had begged payment plans on this credit card, and they had given me payment plans, and we had long stopped even using the card. I just wanted to pay the debt off. And they kept accruing interest on it. And after a couple of years of me paying on this, and when I added up all the payments that I had made back, it was between $3,000 and $4,000. But they kept accruing interest on it, and they wouldn't give me a payment plan anymore. They wouldn't take the amount of money that I was willing to send them every month. They were asking for twice as much, which I couldn't afford. So apparently they discharged the debt, and it just floated around somewhere, and an attorney's office in Long Island, which is really just a call center, got this debt, and they ended up garnishing my husband's wages for almost $600 a month.
All right, fine. Well, let's
right now, they've taken out $9,400, And on the income execution paper, it says that they're only supposed to take $8,991.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get that's David's response to this, because I'm sure there are lots of people out there that have similar problems. And now that we've got some sort of an attorney who's bought the debt, they're garnishing wages. What do you do with something like that? David, is there anything you can do with that?
When it reaches we tell the people before it reaches the garnishment stage that when they are going to get letters from the collection company saying, we want to negotiate, we want to work something out, we want you to make these payments, or they're dragging you into court, you go into court, you communicate with them, because really the garnishment is kind of the last leg, the last end of the road type process that an attorney or a collection company will use. At that point, unfortunately, we can't help in that situation because the income is already garnished, so it wouldn't make any sense for them to be paying to the garnishment and then to us because they're already making their payments to them. The idea is to not get to that point, because when the letters come, and they do come, the idea is to at least communicate and get to that collection agency or that attorney and say, here I am, but this is what I've done. Give them all the payments you've made up to that date and get some kind of an agreement with them as to what the balance is and what is still owed on them. Otherwise,
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Hello?
Hold on just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is David Lemieux, and we still have Marcia on the line from Rochester. And it sounds, Marcia, as if at this stage there's not much they can do for you, that it's just gone too far. If you'd gotten to one of these, an organization that could represent you earlier, but now, of course, an attorney has it, and you know how attorneys are. And Sydney, if he wants to actually get more, then you're going to may even have to get some sort of legal help. But, I mean, unfortunately, there are a lot of ruthless people out there, and it sounds like you've fallen into the hands of a very ruthless individual.
Yes. My husband called and asked them today. He got someone on the phone from their office and asked when they're going to stop taking this over the limit, over what's on the income execution document, when they're going to stop taking money. And he just got some flippant response like, well, we need another $2,700, but there's no accounting for it or anything.
Well, I think you're going to need a lawyer or somebody to represent you, because you're in a terrible mess, and there's so many people who have gotten into this sort of a mess, Marcia, and I really wouldn't know what to say. What would you tell Heller, David? Would you tell her that she needs a legal representation so this lawyer doesn't keep ripping them off?
Yes, and Heather, you're right. There are a lot of attorneys out there that are called limited attorneys. They're not actual full-fledged attorneys. They're limited, meaning they can only do so much in the law. And most of them are nothing more than collection agencies. And what they're doing is they have workers that work for them that actually get a commission for taking as much money as they can from that collection. So what happens is once that credit card company sells it to these entities, they're going to try to charge you the highest amount of possible, and it does go over what you owe the credit card companies, because those people who are tacking on those fees and all those extra charges are making money on that, and each individual collection agent that's working in that company is taking a commission off of that. So that's what they're doing. And I believe under the law and the legalities of the law, you do have a good case here. If you have your paperwork in order, if you know exactly what you've been paying to them, you need to get someone that you can trust, some attorney and it's not very expensive to be represented for this kind of effort. You know, typically anywhere between $800 and $1,000, you can go to court on this, and once when the courts see what's going on, this is going
to
end.
Either that, of course, go to legal assistance. There is a legal assistance federal program that sometimes will help you get a lawyer to get you out of the mess you're in. But, Marcia, I'm so terribly sorry, but you've really got yourself in an awful mess. And if you ever get into that sort of a situation, get help a lot earlier. Don't actually ever let them get you into a defensive position like this where they are going to rip you off. I'm terribly sorry, and I just hope you can get the thing straightened out. But you need some good legal advice. But why don't you try the Legal Aid Society? Look them up in the telephone.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course our guest is David Lemieux. And am I pronouncing your name
yes,
fairly
that's
well?
Yes, that's very good, Dr. Stan.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, because this is a very real problem for literally millions of people all across America, and you get into this situation, and the collection agencies will make your life miserable, and they'll not only harass you, they'll harass your employer. And then if they can find any way of garnishing your wages, they'll do that as well. Well, let's go to Ken, who's calling from Rochester, New York. Ken, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I did. Thank you, Dr. Stan, for having this guest on. I don't have all the time to give you my specific situation, but like many young people, I've tried to put myself through college and finance my, life, leveraging myself with debt to pay for things. And now that young people are having a harder and harder time finding work to pay off student loans and, pay back the debt they used to get themselves through college, do you have any recommendations as to how to deal with the student debt? And
I think that's a very legitimate question. Have you run into that at all, David, about these student loans? Of course, when the students took them out, they were 3 or 4% interest, and now I don't know where they are, but how high are they, Ken? Do you have any idea? The interest rates on your student loans?
They're pretty high. I just haven't been able to make any payments, and I'm in a kind of a unique situation. I haven't been really able to find steady employment, and let alone finish school. I've been helping taking care of a aging grandparent, and he's helped me out financially some, but haven't really been able to find steady work in order to pay this debt off, and it is worrisome, and
it's growing all the time. Well, David, what about these student loans? Are they a real problem?
Okay, yeah, Ken, first of all, are you talking about a student loan, or are you talking about the credit cards they gave you during college?
I'm talking about both. I have student loans now. I've stopped attending school. It's just I can't afford to do it financially. And
what about, do you have a credit card debt or a student loan debt?
I have actually both.
I got his, so he's got both, David. He's got both a student loan and, of course, a credit card debt. How much is your credit card debt, Ken?
Probably upwards of $8,000 to $9,000.
Okay, fine.
In collections for a while. I just haven't been working and just.
All right, fine. David, what can you tell him?
On the student loans, of course, if you're not working, you can defer them. But unfortunately, when you defer student loans, the interest keeps accruing. There are companies, if you call our toll-free number, Ken, we'll be glad to give you the information as to how you can deal with the student loans. Student loans are secured debt that's guaranteed by the U.S. government. So they do not negotiate whatsoever. That's as far as you can go with them because they're like the IRS. But there are legitimate companies that are at least accepted by the government that says, okay, they'll put you into a deferred program. They can usually take the interest off and have you pay just the principal. There are entities that can help you there. You can defer it. You can get into a program that will help defer the interest. But unfortunately, getting rid of a student loan is like trying to get rid of your taxes. You won't be able to do that. As for the credit card, that's something we can also help also. So, Ken, if you call the 866 number, which is the 866 374-3101 number, and we will give you information on both those issues. We'll give you some companies for the student loan issue, and then possibly we can help you out with your credit card debt.
Okay, Ken.
Thank you very much.
God bless, and thanks. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Of course, most people have no grasp of what lies ahead. We are going into, I believe, a severe depression, probably equal to or even worse than there was back in the 1930s. And don't listen to these people like Henry Paulson, Secretary of the Treasury, and the others who say, oh, we're at the bottom, everything's going to be fine. No, it's not going to be fine. We're going to continue having dropping home prices, and even people, who have a good income, who actually have bought homes at the high point of the housing cycle of the housing bubble, are suddenly going to find out that they're paying, on a mortgage for a house that is worth many tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands less than their mortgage. In other words, their house is declining in value, their mortgage keeps its value, and would you want to be paying, say, interest on a $800,000 loan to keep a house that was worth $500,000 today, and you're not going to do it. And so when your home is foreclosed on, it goes on the market, and the more homes there are on the market, why, of course, the more the values of the homes goes down, and there's simply like a fire, it begins to feed on itself, and more people then have homes that are worth less and less money. And this is exactly what happened in Japan back in the early 1990s, and I think we're going to see it here in the United States. I just hope and pray it's not as bad as it was in Japan, where the homes lost and property lost 90% of its value. I don't think it's going to go down that far here, but it's going to get a lot further than it is. Well, let's go to James, who's calling in from Santa Cruz. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, James. How are you doing? Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, Dr. Stan, can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. Good, doing fine.
Okay, good. My question is, we started off with about $40,000 in of credit card debt, and we do have somebody that's helping us in similar program, and we've gotten it down to less than $20,000.
Great.
My question is can he help us? Can his method help us get out of this debt sooner? So if he can, would we have to disconnect from the other system that we're already involved in?
Yes. Are you involved with a credit counseling company right now?
Yes.
Yes. We, as a matter of fact, we get more business out of the credit counseling than we do anywhere else in the market out there. Because the reason is because, for example, that how long is it taking you to go from $40,000 to $20,000?
Almost 3 years.
Okay. We would have settled in our business if we had started with that $40,000. We would have negotiated on about $18,000, and because you've already paid off $20,000, in our program you would have been paid off by now, just to give you an idea. But in response to where you are right now, you bet, because what we're going to do is that $20,000, we're going to settle probably on $8,000 or $9,000. If you do the math on that, you'll be out of debt sooner and quicker on $8,000 or $9,000 than you will be with $20,000. So in response, yes, you can cancel the program with the counseling companies. They'll take you out of their system. We're going to put you right back into a system, so it's like you're going to be stop and starting. You won't even feel the bump, and from that point, we're going to settle on a lot less debt than $20,000.
Okay. Anything else, James?
Well, that sounds great, and I really appreciate it. So I'll give David a call.
Okay. And again, that number, David, give your number again.
Yes, it's 866 toll free 374-3101. Give us a call.
Okay, yeah, fine. Thanks.
God bless you all for
and you too,
your
buddy.
Work and participation and helping people with debt. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'll tell you what, so many people are trapped in this system, James, and it just breaks your heart when you think of it. And we've been trying to tell people what was coming, and nobody wanted to hear it. Nobody likes to hear bad news, but let me tell you, you haven't seen anything yet. So I'm glad you're halfway out. I hope you can get the rest of the way out. God bless. Bye-bye. And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you're one of the people who is overextended, has got themselves into a terrible situation as far as borrowing money. And let me tell you, because there's one of the old Shakespeare plays, and there's certainly Laertes' advice to Polonius, or Polonius' advice to Laertes, neither a borrower nor a lender be. Neither borrower nor a lender be. This was written back in the early 1600s, but of course they knew the difficulty of getting into debt at that time, and of course nothing has changed other than the fact that at least in those days they used to have usury laws, and they've done away with these, not of course to protect the individual, but so the rich will get richer, and of course many people will become permanent debt slaves in this system. Well, David, what is your remarks, anything you'd like to say to our listeners before we let you go?
Yeah, one last thing. I want to give you just a little example here. In 2004, MBNA made 1.5 times the profit that McDonald's made worldwide in the same year. If that gives you an idea about how much money these credit card companies are really making, 1.5 times. Some of the bigger banks are more profitable than Microsoft. So if it gives you an idea how important these credit card companies are to our government and to the laws, they're not on your side. They're not there to help you. They're there to get you more and more into debt. And we talked about that 25% interest rate mark. The credit card companies call that 25%, and then actually up to 35%, they call it the sweet spot. And they use that term to show that their goal for credit card holders is to get those people out of that 0% introductory, out of that 8% interest rate. The idea is to get them into the sweet spot, and they do that by shadowing your credit. And if you have any kind of change in the habitual way of your credit, or if your credit score in Fair Isaac drops, or if you are late on any other kind of debt other than the credit card company that you're working with, they will still increase the interest rate because that's the sweet spot they want, and that's where they make their profits, and that's where their shareholders make a lot of money.
And, of course, the great tragedy of this whole thing is, you know, it was all a scam. It was all a come-on. Oh, my goodness, you know, nothing, no interest at all, or 5% interest, or 3% interest. I can remember that. You know, why did you take our credit card? And what they had was an organized, orchestrated, coordinated effort to get people in debt. And so many people are in debt today, and some of them, without help, are never going to get out of debt. And things are going to get worse and worse, because we've got another several years. You know, while this thing is on the downslope, the economy, and then, of course, when it gets to the bottom, if we still have a free society, is not going to bounce back again. I mean, during the Great Depression, which started in 1929, it really lasted for 10 long years. And the only thing that got us out of the war was, Great Depression was a war. The Second World War got us out, otherwise we'd still be there. But in the process, they've destroyed the value of the dollar. During the Great Depression, at least we had a sovereign gold-backed currency. We no longer have a sovereign gold-backed currency. We have a fiat money system, and of course, the only good thing I can say is that you owe a debt and you don't pay it off. Why, of course, the value of their money is going down all the time, but this is what they're doing with the federal debt. Our federal debt now is $9.3 trillion, but they're not going to have to pay that all back, because they're going to destroy the value of the people who hold the bonds on that debt simply by inflation. And inflation right now is running about 12%, contrary to what you're being told by the people in Washington, D.C., who have to lie to you, because if they didn't lie, why, they would have to pay the Social Security recipients an extra 12% a year of their income. They'd have to pay the people who have indexed treasury bonds, in other words, indexed to inflation. Instead of paying them 2.5% inflation rate, they'd have to give them 12% inflation. And, of course, the government doesn't have that money. It needs it to give it to all of these companies that are affiliated with Halliburton, Dick Cheney's old company. You know, we give them these non-bid loans, like companies like Kellogg Brown and Root and Halliburton and Bechtel, and they don't even have to get bids on it. And if they have shoddy work, who's going to care? After all, the money's there. Somebody's got to get it. Why shouldn't they? Well, we have one more caller on the line. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And our guest today is David Lemieux, and of course we're talking about the problem that so many people have today of being head over heels in debt and not knowing how to get out of it. And if you have any questions, give David a call at 866-374-3101. That's 866-374-3101. David, thanks very much for being with us. We'll look forward to having you on our evening program very soon.
Very good. Thank you very much, Dr. Stan.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that was David, and of course, David probably will be on with us from time to time. We'll try to keep you up with what's going on financially, but it is estimated by the Wellington newsletter, which I take, that there are already over 2 million homes that have gone into foreclosure, and that, of course, there are about 8 to 10 million in total that face the possibility of foreclosure before this is over. And the matter of rights, the Wellington letter seems to be very well founded in what's going on. Now, earlier I said there was something like 8 million empty homes, but a lot of these are homes that have been built. And certainly the contractors have gone out, the speculators have gone out, they borrowed money from the bank, they put in whole housing developments, you know, 400 or 500 homes, and they're going to make a killing. Well, unfortunately, they've got these homes all built, and of course they've got to get them sold. And there's nobody there who wants to buy the homes. They can't borrow the money. And, of course, they keep lowering the price and lowering the price. And all the time, they're paying interest on the money they borrowed, because all of these developments certainly are done with borrowed money. And whether it be a commercial development or big buildings they're putting in, office buildings, or whether it be individual homes. In fact, I was talking to a gentleman back in Greenville today who told me about a developer there, one of the biggest developers in Greenville, South Carolina, who had put in 450 home developments, and none of those are selling. I've read an article this morning by Gary North telling about a major auction in Las Vegas, Nevada, where the builders that put their homes that they'd built up for sale, they put in minimum prices that they would accept, and there were hundreds of people there, and, of course, there were no bids at all. And, of course, all those homes had to be taken back. They had professional auctioneers, everything, but nobody wanted to bid on them because, of course, they didn't want to get a home, knowing full well that the value of that home would go way down. And unless they could get it at 50% off, they weren't interested. And believe me, a lot of the homes are being sold at auction for 50% or less. And, of course, this is in those areas where they've had, a lot of development areas like Las Vegas. Areas like Miami, areas like San Diego, and areas where there's been Phoenix, Arizona. Big developments going in, and unfortunately, of course, not realizing where we were in the economic cycle, why these people, these developers, these speculators are going to lose literally everything they have, because, of course, they had to put everything they had up into a security. And believe me, if you can't pay the bank back, they're going to take the security, everything you have. And this happens over and over again. I saw this back in 1980 when a lot of my doctor friends here in the Monterey Bay area where I was living actually went into a development with one of the surgeons here. He had a beautiful strip of land right overlooking the ocean on a bluff, and they put in about 21 beautiful townhouses. And, of course, they did it predominantly with borrowed money, but the doctors always had to put down 20% or 30%. And then when it came time to sell the houses, the condominiums there on the bluff, why, of course, the bank would not lend money to any of the people who wanted to buy. And so, basically, of course, they could not keep up the interest payments, and eventually, of course, they lost the whole thing. And so many of the doctor friends of mine who thought that they were smarter than the system ended up, of course, losing everything. And many of them were not able to retire when I did, because they didn't understand the economic cycles. Well, we'll be back in just a minute to wrap up the program. And this is Dr. Stan, and of course, we are having very real economic problems. General Motors has lost $3.4 billion in the United States during the first quarter, and now, of course, they're having wildcat strikes, in their factories across the Middle West at the present time. In other words, they're just going out on strike without any official permission to do that, and just closing down the plant. And of course, General Motors is going to have real problems from that. But also, of course, General Motors can simply pick up their production here in the United States when the union begins violating its contracts. And, of course, with that, General Motors no longer has to honor its contract to look after the pensions and, of course, the health care of the workers, because they've got out on strike. General Motors can just pick up, move over to China, produce the cars there, and then have them shipped back here to the United States. And as long as there's no tariff, they can produce them over there, probably at almost half the cost that they do here in the United States. And that'll be great for General Motors. And suddenly the union has given General Motors the ability to back out of their union contracts. And I think, of course, we know that Toyota is actually very concerned about their production here. They're anticipating they're going to actually producing 25% less this year than they did last year. Ordinarily, America now has the capacity to produce about 18.5 million cars a year. This coming year, they're planning on turning out about 14 million cars, and of course, it may very well that an awful lot of those they're not going to be able to sell. And, of course, right now, of course, General Motors is losing money on literally every car they sell. Why are they producing them in the United States? Well, because they have a contractual obligation with the unions. But now the unions have gone out on wildcat strikes. They can begin to break those contractual agreements and stop producing as they have. They were required by the union contracts to keep their production lines open, and so they actually had to keep producing cars and losing money on every car. And this is really what's been going on, and that is going to come to an end very, very soon. And down the line, you're going to see the price of cars going up. However, we're going to be forced out of our large cars, which traditionally have had, by the rising price of gasoline. Do you realize that the price of gasoline in Great Britain today is $10 a gallon, or almost $10 a gallon? And don't think for one minute it's not going to be getting up that high here in the United States, because there really are people who want to raise the price of oil, not just for the profit, but because they want to get you out of your cars. They want to get you on bicycles. Ever notice all those television ads telling us how great bicycles are? We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we hope you enjoyed our program talking about what's happening financially. And we do hope that if you're out there in the listening audience, you're going to stop buying things you don't need. You're going to get yourself out of debt, because things are going to get a lot worse. And do not believe these people who tell you that everything's going to be fine, we're just about at the bottom, things are going to start turning up, the market's going to do great, everything's going to do fine. No, the whole world financial system is in the process of collapsing today, and the average individual does not understand. The rate of inflation here in the United States, according to Shadow Statistics and Bob Chapman and other experts who really are analyzing with the rate of inflation, is 12%, not 2.5% core or 4.2%. If you take into account fuel and food, well, that's fuel and food is some of our biggest expenses here, but they discount that, and of course that's really unimportant. Well, really, they're lying about, of course, what's going on. Of course, the goods we're importing from other countries are beginning to go up in price. Why? Well, very simply, because the value of our dollar is going down. And then, of course, with the added expenses of fuel and diesel, and, of course, so much of what we get in our stores here is brought in by diesel trucks, and they have to tag on a supplement to meet the rising cost of fuel. We're seeing the increasing price of airline tickets. And, of course, what's happening with fuel and gasoline is going to affect everybody out there in the listening audience. To understand what's really going on financially, let me suggest a talk we've given. It's called the Financial Tsunami. The Financial Tsunami, and there's a syllabus that goes with that. We recommend you get it. And, of course, you get $5 off if you get the DVD or video and the syllabus together. But it will give you a good understanding of why the whole economic system is going to collapse. They knew exactly what was happening. That's, of course, why they changed the bankruptcy laws 5 or more years ago, because they knew what was going to happen. Everything that's going on today was carefully planned as a vehicle of impoverishing the American people and making them into debt slaves and destroying the middle class. And that's what it's really all about. It's all about equitable a distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. And if you doubt that it is the agenda, you need to get the Earth Charter and read it. You can get the Earth Charter on the Internet or through Radio Liberty by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. This is the Mein Kampf that comes from the very pit of hell. It was written by 3 people deeply involved in the occult, all of them fabulously wealthy and powerful. Men like Marie Strong, former assistant, Secretary General of the United Nations, certainly a multi-billionaire, Mikhail Gorbachev, that great American patriot, and then, of course, Stephen Rockefeller, the son of Nelson Rockefeller, whose family has countless hundreds of billions of dollars, but nobody ever wants to talk about the Rockefellers really being in charge of what's going on. And in the Earth Charter, point 10A, they talk about equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. And that's what is going on today as they redistribute the wealth of the American people throughout the rest of the world. And so, certainly, we suggest you get my talk on the Financial Tsunami. 2 pamphlets. One, The History of Money, which you need to know the history of money and understand money. And the second, of course, is a book on the financial meltdown, which goes into what's going on today and why Alan Greenspan did what he did. Now, I don't know for certain why he's done it, but I do know that Alan Greenspan intentionally created the crisis we're having today. And I simply have a supposition there, a theory, and you can accept it or not. We may never know why Alan Greenspan did what he did, but we do know that everything that's going on today and the collapse of our economy is part of a long-range plan. For as Alan Greenspan says in his book, The Age of Turbulence, there is no better way to destroy a nation than to debauch its currency, and not one person in a million will understand what is happening. Not one person in a million will understand what's happening as we debauch the currency with rampant inflation and we lie to the American people. And if you really believe that we have a 2% inflation or at the most a 4% inflation, you haven't been to the store recently and you certainly haven't filled up your gas tank, please remember our number is 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America.